that, yes, my environment is bad. He escapes from that kind of climate and he dedicates his life to helping youths out there who are going through a similar situation.
Yes, that is very true.
The struggle that Tom goes through, mm-hmm. right? That struggle that he had to go through to improve the conditions of his life,
yes.
to reach some sort of understanding, even if it's the Christian understanding of what mm-hmm. God is, to
just
bring iman upon that, right? That struggle is what Allah is going to reward him with. We should not be surprised on the Day of Judgment if that Tom has a higher status than many of us born into Muslim households,
yes, yes.
right? Because our struggle with what we were given was far less compared to the struggle of Tom.
Exactly. Now, we are given a specific situation and God is the fairest of all. He's going to judge us based on whatever he has given us. And also, as the sister mentioned, we have a free will of choosing the other people that are going to come into our lives. So this was the whole time that we had for today's episode. Thank you for listening to us. Until another session, I bid you farewell and may Allah protect you all.
Ya Allah, Ya Rabb al-Alamin, Ya Rahman, Ya Rahim, Ya Rabbi. Let the Ummah rise again.
Ya Allah,
Ya Rabb al-Alamin, Ya Rahman, Ya Rahim, Ya Rabbi. Let the Ummah rise again. Let us see daylight again, once again.
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.
Savior.
Oh, the Savior of mankind, please show us a sign.
To the designer of the human civilization that is established on the unity of Almighty Allah.
Light of Allah, you are a true God.
To the redeemer of human volition and thought.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners. You are listening to IRIB English Radio. This is The Last Savior. I am your humble host, Zainab. Dear listeners, as you know, we have been discussing about Mahdawiyat, Imam Mahdi, in this session, and we had been talking about Hadith of Saqalain in our last session. We had been going through the claim of Sunni scholars who say that Imam Mahdi ajallaha ta'ala faraja belongs to the lineage of Imam Hassan al-Mujtaba alayhi salam, not the Imam Hassan Askari alayhi salam. Now for that, they had so many narrations, and in the previous session, we tried to analyze those narrations in terms of chain. Now today, we'll continue the session and analyze the same narrations in terms of content. And on that note, we have with us Dr. Karimi. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
Very warm welcome. It's always a pleasure to be with you.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much for giving us so much information, coming up with the narrations, their chains, and then analyzing them. And now I want you to analyze the same narrations in terms of content for our listeners.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Of course, there are not too many narrations in this regard. It's only one narration mentioned by Abu Dawud Sajastani. And inshallah, we'll refer to the fact that many other narrations, even in Sunni sources, they prove that Imam Mahdi alayhi salam is from the lineage of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. So it's only one narration.
Okay.
Now, we talked about this one narration and we said that it's not an authentic narration in terms of the chain. But what about the content? Let me read quickly the narration again. According to this narration, Imam Ali alayhi salam nazara ila ibnihi al-Hasan, looked at his son al-Hasan. And then he says that this son of mine is a master, as he was named by the Prophet. And there will come from his lineage a man whose name is like the name of your Prophet, that is Muhammad. He is like the Prophet in terms of manners and character, but not like the Prophet in terms of the physical features. And he will fill the earth with justice. Now, the second point is that the same narration has been mentioned by some Sunni scholars, but in these books, instead of Nazara ila ibnihi al-Hasan, we have the phrase Nazara ila ibnihi al-Husayn. So, as you see, this is completely in line with many other narrations in both Shia and Sunni sources. And the rest of the narration is the same. It doesn't make any difference. So, for example, let me just share with you one Sunni narration in this regard, one Sunni source. And that is Asna al-Matalib by Shamsuddin al-Jazari al-Shafi'i. He talks about the fact that whether Imam Mahdi alayhi salam is from the lineage of Imam al-Hasan alayhi salam or Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam. And finally he comes to this conclusion and he says, وَالْأَسَحْ أَنَّهُمْ مِنْ ذُرِّيَّةِ الْحُسَيْنِ ابْنَ عَلِي. The more authentic point and viewpoint is that he is from the lineage and offspring of Husayn ibn Ali alayhi salam. Because of the fact that we have a very explicit narration from Imam Ali alayhi salam. And now, here he is referring to the same narration, but the point is that here we read, قال علي عليه السلام ونظر إلى ابنه الحسين. Imam alayhi salam looked at his son Hussein, and then he said that this son of mine is a master, as he was named by the Prophet, and the rest of the narration is just like that narration.
Same.
Exactly.
But now, it only differs who Imam Ali al-Islam looked at.
Exactly.
All right.
And it's a matter of those people who maybe quoted the narration or, written down the narrations. There might be a mistake in writing down Hassan and Hussein. But the point is that the same
other
narration.
Other features were same.
So the point is that even one this narration that some, especially Wahhabi scholars, they have argued to claim that Imam Mahdi alayhi salam is from the lineage of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, the same narration has been mentioned in some other Sunni sources, but in that version we have Ibnihi al-Hussein. Imam Ali alayhi salam looked at his son al-Hussein and said that Mahdi is from the lineage of al-Hussein alayhi salam. So this is the second point.
I can feel your eyes like the sun shining behind the clouds. I need a morning to shatter this long night forever. I need a hero to stop this thousand-year-old pain.
The third point is that it's very somehow strange that why Ibn Taymiyyah has paid attention only to one this narration and has ignored many other narrations in Sunni sources which refer to the fact that Imam Mahdi alayhi salam is from the offspring of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. We have many narrations in this regard. For example, some of these narrations are quoted by Maqdisi al-Shafi'i in Aqd al-Durar and Muhibbuddin al-Tabari in the Khair al-Uqba. For example, according to Hudhaifa, he says that one day the Holy Prophet was delivering a sermon for us, and then he talked about the end of the times, and then he said the following. He said that if there remains only one day from this world, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will prolong it so much so that a person from my offspring will have a kind of uprising among my nation. His name is like my name. Then according to this narration, Salman, the famous companion of the Prophet, he stood up and said, Ya Rasulullah min ayyi wallik, O Prophet of God, that person belongs to whom? From which of your children? And according to this narration, the Holy Prophet said, Huwa min waladi hada wa daraba biyadiki ala al-Husayn alayhi salam. The Holy Prophet put his hand on Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam. He said that he will be from this son of mine, Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam. So this narration is very explicit in saying that according to the Holy Prophet, Imam Mahdi alayhi salam is from the lineage of Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam. This is one narration.
And there are also Sunni sources.
Yeah,
and
I'm
there
just
are also
quoting.
Hadith.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I'm just quoting
this
from
is interesting,
sources.
Like this Ibn Taymiyyah that you mentioned, one of the very famous Wahhabi scholars, is just trying to stretch only one narration, and that too, in terms of content, we saw was mentioned at so many places, but at different places. It's either written Imam Hassan, and at some places it's written Imam Hussein. But the rest of the features, like you said, Imam Ali alayhi salam looked at one of his sons and he said they are the masters of youth of the paradise. And then I'll be having a son among them who will be in manners and character relating to Prophet, and he'll not relate to him. Resemble him in terms of physical features and fill earth with justice. We saw all these characters being repeated. However, there was only difference in name. The name was also in the Sunni narrations.
Many other narrations in Sunni sources from the Prophet, they put emphasis on the fact that Imam Mahdi alayhi salam is from the offspring of Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam. Like this one that I quoted from Maqdisi al-Shafi'i in Iqd al-Durar fi Akhbar al-Muntazar. Volume 1, page 83, and also Muhabbuddin al-Tabari in Dakhal al-Uqba, volume 1, page 137. There are many other narrations, like, let me just share other narrations. The other narration is from other companions of the Prophet. For example, Abdullah ibn Amr says that the Holy Prophet said the following, يَخْرَجُ رَجُلٌ مِّن وُدِّ الْحُسَيْنِ مِّن قِبَلِ الْمَشْرِقِ. From the east, a man from the generation of Hussein alayhi salam, he will come. He will have a kind of uprising. And he will destroy his enemies, even if they are as firm as the mountains. So again, another narration from another companion of the Prophet, but referring to the same point, that Imam
uprising,
Mahdi alayhi salam,
yeah,
is from the generation of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam and not Imam Hassan alayhi salam. This has been mentioned, for example, by Marwazi, Kitab al-Fitan, volume 1, page 371. As-Suyuti, the famous Sunni scholar, in Al-Hawi, volume 2, page 62, and many other Sunni scholars. Again, another Sunni scholar is Ibn Sabbagh Maliki. He has a rather long narration about from the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, and his family. And in that narration, again, it's been mentioned that the Holy Prophet would put his holy hand on Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam.
Dr. Karimi, I'll be talking to you here. We need to take a short break. The listeners, stay tuned to IRIB English Radio.
Addressing Fatima to Zahra Salamullah alayha, the Holy Prophet said the following, O Fatima, so the hand of the Prophet is on the shoulder of Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam, according to this narration. And addressing his beloved daughter, Fatima to Zahra Salamullah alayha, the Holy Prophet said the following, O Fatima, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us the Ahlul Bayt 6 features which are unique for us, and no one else would be given
any of these features
in future, and no one has been given any of these features in the past. Then the Holy Prophet explains these features. Our Prophet, that is referring to himself, is the best among all the Prophets, that is your father. Our Wasi, our vicegerent, is the best of the vicegerents, and that is your husband, referring to Imam Ali alayhi salam. Our martyr, our Shaheed, is the best of the Shuhada, and that is your uncle Hamza. from us is a man who in paradise, he will have two wings, and referring to Ja'far ibn Abi Talib, who is, according to some narrations, spiritually speaking, he will have two wings. And from us are two, children who are two sons of you, that is Imam al-Hasan and Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam, and no one is like them. And finally, the Holy Prophet said, the last feature is that Mahdi of this nation is from us. And that is the one that Isa ibn Maryam will come and say prayers behind him. And then the Holy Prophet put his hand on the shoulder of Imam Hussein alayhi salam and said that Mahdi is from his generation and his lineage. This narration has been mentioned, as I mentioned, by Ibn Sabbagh al-Maliki in Al-Fusul al-Muhimma, volume 2, page 1114. Also, Qunduzi al-Hanafi in Yanabi' al-Mawadda, and many other Sunni scholars. So again, as you rightly mentioned, Ibn Taymiyyah has ignored all these narrations and only has referred to one narration, which
is weak
in terms of the chain. Just let me share one more narration in this regard. Another narration is mentioned by Maqdisi al-Shafi'i, and in his book of hadith, that is Aqd al-Durar fi Akhbar al-Muntazar, volume 1, page 157, he is quoting one narration from Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam. So it's not weird, because at the end of the day, Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam is one of the Ahlul Bayt, and he was highly regarded by the Sunni scholars as well. So in this narration, Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam, addressing Jabir ibn Yazid, says that, O Jabir, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will gather the companions of Mahdi, who are 313 people together, and they will pay allegiance to Mahdi between Rukn and Maqam, which are two holy places around the Kaaba. And then he says that, O Jabir, wal Mahdi rajulun min wulid al-Husayn. Mahdi is a man from the generation of Al-Husayn, that is Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam. So all these narrations prove the fact that, first of all, the number of the narrations in Sunni sources which refer to the fact that Imam Mahdi alayhi salam is the son of Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam outnumber the narration which claims that he is from the generation of Imam al-Hasan alayhi salam. Second of all, that one narration is weak in terms of the chain. And third of all, even that one narration has two versions, Al-Hasan and Al-Hussein. So to claim that because of only this one weak narration, Imam Mahdi alayhi salam is from the generation of Imam al-Hasan alayhi salam is not a firm claim.
All right. Thank you so much, Dr. Karimi, for clearing the concept. You cleared all that using the Sunni sources only. Thank you so much. Thank you so much, listeners. You are listening to IRIB English Radio.
News, social news, scientific news, artistic news. With the light.
Floating solar panels help landowners benefit from underused body of water. Now, a German company is covering 14,000 square meters of a lake with these panels, turning it into the biggest solar park in the country. The park is built by a family-owned company called Quartzwerk, which specializes in extracting and processing industrial minerals. The company says it wants to become independent of fossil energy sources amid rising energy prices. The head of the Floating Panel Corporation says they will be generating around 3 million kilowatts per hour of green electricity on the surfaces of Limmersheim Lake in southern Germany.
The
plant can make a super big contribution to the land-neutral energy transition, because here an unused lake that was previously used for gravel extraction is being converted into a power plant for renewable energy.
Installation and maintenance of the panels are easy and safe, while they also offer a significant reduction in evaporation from the water surface. According to the company, this will save around 1,100 tons of carbon dioxide each year.
A restaurant in the Indonesian capital of Jakarta is taking fine dining to new heights, literally and figuratively, by giving diners a one-of-a-kind experience 50 meters above ground. The restaurant is called Lounge in the Sky. Diners are securely strapped into seats fixed to a table and are hoisted into the air using a heavy-duty lift. First, the gourmet meals are prepared in the main kitchen. Then, the food is loaded onto the platform where the dishes are plated and served to the patrons. The suspended guests are able to take advantage of breathtaking views as they gently rotate at great heights.
At first, it was not easy. I was nervous that I wouldn't be able to swallow the food, let alone drink. But after some time, I could eventually eat. It was thrilling.
While enjoying the meals, the guests use seat belts and the accompanying staff are equipped with safety harnesses. The guests are also briefed on safety regulations before the platform is raised. Diners call the one-hour experience exhilarating and worth the high price. The project developers say the restaurant was aimed at reviving local and international tourism sector after a big slump during the COVID-19 pandemic. The culinary experience is a first in Indonesia and the third in the world after Belgium and Malaysia.
South Koreans are getting outside to enjoy the open air with a local cherry blossom festival in central Seoul. This is while the country has been dealing with an ongoing surge of the Omicron variant of COVID-19. With some performances and the beauty of spring, many people look forward to turning the corner on the pandemic. Frank Smith has a story.
Spring has come to South Korea, and the cherry blossoms are blooming. COVID-19 restrictions on gatherings are finally being eased, and at Ansan Park in central Seoul, a small festival is bringing everyone back out.
I first came here with my friends 4 years ago, but we couldn't come for the past 2 years because of COVID. I was impressed to see so many people no longer being overly careful about COVID, and we're also very happy to be able to attend festivals like this one.
South Koreans have been quite diligent in observing social distancing guidelines and wearing masks. The Omicron variant of COVID-19 has been quite severe here, with cases only recently declining below 200,000 per day. Still, the government's decided to open up. From the open-air stage, Noh Ah Ram and his band entertain a crowd that's anxious to finally get outside and enjoy group activities.
Ever since COVID, and particularly for the entirety of 2021, when the pandemic was at its peak, I have been unable to perform. I felt today was a restart. Spring has come, the weather's great, the blossoms beautiful, and I felt all of this was celebrating today's show.
South Korea's vaccination rate is nearly 90%, with children now getting the jab.
At first, I was very scared of COVID as I felt it was life-threatening. But now I feel okay with it because I consider it an experience and a certain reality. Also, I worry less because of the vaccines and the new medications.
The cherry blossoms blooming has been tracked from Jeju Island in the south and up to the capital as warm weather moved north. And with this change in seasons, attitudes toward life with COVID are changing as well. Frank Smith, Seoul.
The first all-private space crew has successfully docked at International Space Station after spending over 20 hours en route. Three paying customers and a former NASA astronaut will spend 10 days aboard the ISS. The tourists will participate in scientific research, including stem cell experiments and exploring how the body ages in space. The civilian crew were launched into space in a SpaceX rocket from the Kennedy Space Center on Friday. The trip was brokered by Axiom Space, which is the U.S.-based startup that coordinates rocket rides and provides necessary training. It's not the first time paying customers have visited the ISS. Russia sold seats on a Soyuz spacecraft last year. But this is the first mission that includes a crew entirely comprised of civilians.
The Light is a bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
A new selfie museum in Sweden is flipping the script by making visitors both the artist and the exhibit. The establishment is dubbed the Museum and is in a shopping mall in Stockholm. Unlike other selfie museums, this one has no works of art on its walls. Instead, its brightly decorated rooms are meant to serve as fun backgrounds for visitors to take their selfies or shoot videos in. Other rooms let the visitors bury themselves in candy-colored foam bricks, strike a pose under neon lights, or sit on a huge, colorful swing. The manager says the museum is interactive and lets the visitors be the artists themselves in order to create the art they want to see. The Drone Show Korea 2022 has been held at the Busan Exhibition and Convention Center, BEXCO. It featured 137 companies and 533 booths, making this year's incarnation the largest in the show's six-year history. The event also featured the participation of a large international industry representatives from Japan and Western Europe. A highlight of this year's event was military technology, centered around the unveiling of new indigenous UAVs. This year's show marked a long-endurance liquid hydrogen drone produced by a South Korean company. These developments reflect South Korea's attempt to improve resilience and revolutionize its approach to warfare. The event puts on display the importance of drone industry in various spheres, including defense purposes. More than 163 wildlife species have been released back into lagoons and forests in Colombia's Casanare province after being seized and rehabilitated by authorities fighting wildlife trafficking. These include 15 different species such as anteaters, turtles, macaws, a toucan, and a leopard. They were nurtured back to health by fauna vets from an environmental authority in charge of managing sustainable development. The authority, Corporinoquia, released more than 1,200 animals back into the wild in 2021 alone. Colombia is one of the world's most biodiverse countries by square kilometer and is home to some 10% of the world's flora and fauna.
A super rare birth has added a cute member to critically endangered Sumatran rhinos of Indonesia. The newborn calf is the sixth born since intensive efforts to breed the species began in the 1980s. The female calf, which doesn't have a name yet, was given birth to by a rhino named Rosa in a sanctuary. Rosa has suffered eight miscarriages since 2005 when she was brought in from the wild for a breeding program. fewer than 80 Sumatran rhinos remain in the world, mainly on the Indonesian islands of Sumatra and Borneo. Excessive poaching, along with other threats, has brought the species to the brink of extinction.
With neon lights on the floor and walls, pulsing electronic beats, and a glowing red shuttlecock bouncing back and forth, Malaysian badminton court evokes a sci-fi movie set. Shuttle in the Dark is a badminton hall in the iconic Petronas Twin Towers in Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia. It was set up in late 2021 by a sport management company to encourage people to take up the racket sport after 2 years of social restrictions because of the COVID-19 pandemic. Director of INEC Sport Management says the initial goal was to draw sports fans and players back into action.
Our initial goal was, how can we encourage and gain back the interest of people to come back and play? And not only those enthusiasts, but then as well the new people who was not able to or never play badminton before. So that's why we come out with this experience called Shuttle in the Dark.
Playing on a futuristic court presents an unusual challenge for athletes as they have to adjust their eyes to the darkness to fly. Badminton is one of the most popular sports in Malaysia and Asia, with a thriving community in the Southeast Asian community. It has produced some of the world's top-ranked players. A zoo in Ireland's capital, Dublin, has unveiled its newest habitat called the Himalayan Hills, a brand new home of the red panda and the snow leopard. Visitors are able to see the red panda's habitat by traveling along the new trail around a rocky edge to an open viewing area. The red pandas are typically climbing, exploring, or munching on bamboo at the top of broad-leafed evergreen trees. The expanded habitat was designed with a red panda's tree-dwelling lifestyle in mind. Also, visitors can gaze up at the 15-meter rocky slope through an impressive panoramic viewing area to spot the snow leopards. These elusive felines are typically nocturnal, so catching a glimpse of one is a rare treat.
Yeah, the animals are settling in well. We've tried to recreate the wild habitat in the Himalayan hills. Both species live quite high up. In case of the snow leopards, up to 5,000 meters on these very steep rocky slopes, which you can see here in the habitat as well. We've tried to use the topology of Dublin Zoo.
The project took a few years to complete. It was halted in 2020 due to the COVID-19 pandemic and massive budget shortages, but was restarted after government funding in 2021. The zoo is part of a protection project for red pandas and snow leopards. These animals are listed as vulnerable due to threats from poaching and severe habitat loss. Ancient Pompeii has a new guardian, Spot, a four-legged robot dog that will inspect the ancient Italian city's streets and tunnels to identify structural issues. The robot, designed by the U.S. firm Boston Dynamics, will patrol Pompeii at nighttime. The robot inspects the smallest of spaces and gathers data for planning interventions to fix safety and structural issues. Equipped with a 360-degree camera, Spot will also protect the city's streets from illegal relic hunters who cause structural damage to the ruins by digging tunnels. Pompeii will also have its own eye in the sky, a Leica BLK-2 flying laser scanner capable of autonomously conducting 3D scans of the ruins, helping Spot carry out its tasks. Safeguarding ancient sites from treasure hunters has always been a problem for every country, especially the ancient ones.
Sheikh Baqir Sharif Al Qarashi decides to compile.
So we can consider Sayyid Hadi Khosrow Shahi.
Shaheed Muhammad Baqir Al Sadr.
He was born in Qadhimiyya.
The first and the most important thing that we can learn from Allama Tabatabai is his great effort.
In this regard, I should like to say that one of the great benefits of the late Ayatollah Sayyid Mahmud Shahruddin was.
When we look at the works of late Rawzati, we see.
There is a famous sentence from Mirza Khalil Qamarani that he says in Farsi, "Tuhid kalame baraye kalame tuhid."
Be more familiar with outstanding Shia figures in the teacher.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum to you, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Call of Islam page. Well, welcome to another episode of the program, The Teacher, an analysis on the thoughts and works of the most outstanding Muslim philosophers, thinkers, jurists, and scholars all across the world of Islam. With me in the studio are two guest speakers for today's discussion, Sheikh Mahdavi and Sheikh Ziyaniya. Sheikh Mahdavi, assalamu alaikum, brother.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
And Sheikh Ziyaniya, assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
So for today's discussion, we want to talk about the life account of an outstanding Shiite marja who is living in the city of Qom. We can say he's no one but Sayyid Musa Shobairi Zanjani, a Shiite authority and a teacher of advanced courses of fiqh and usul al-fiqh in the city of Qom. Sheikh Mahdavi, let's start with you, brother. Sayyid Musa Shobairi Zanjani, his life account, and he belongs to a scholarly family. His father was also a marja and a scholar. Let's talk a little bit about the life account and the biography of Sayyid Musa Shobairi Zanjani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Ayatollah Sayyid Musa Shobairi Zanjani, born in 1306 according to solar calendar, as you mentioned, to a religious family. His father, late Ayatollah Sayyid Ahmad Zanjani, the one who is leading the Salat in Holy Shrine of Hazrat Ma'asumah, and it's interesting that even nowadays the people of Qom are blessed by the leadership of the Salat, I mean Jama'ah Salat, yes, in Holy Shrine of Hazrat Ma'asumah. May Allah prolong his life, inshallah, to be blessed by his presence in the Holy Shrine. He started his study from his childhood under the custody of his father, and when he finished the elementary level of Hausa within 4 or 5 years, that was a kind of surprise period of time to finish off the first 10 years. Typically, students of seminary Hausa undertake this period of time through 10 years. But as it is narrated in his biography, he finished that period of time within 3 or 4 years. And because of his talent, he benefited from the outstanding ulama of the seminary of Qom. Namely, is Ayatollah Sayyid Hussain Burujerdi, who was the main outstanding marja before the revolution of Islamic Republic of Iran. Sayyid Abul Qasim Khoi, he actually had this chance to go to Najaf, stay there, and benefit from the circles of study of Ayatollah Sayyid Abul Qasim Al-Khoi. And also another marja that it is named in his biography. He is known as being expert in the knowledge of Rijal, besides being a marja who is supposed to know fiqh, I mean jurisprudence, fiqh usul as a legal theory of Islam.
Yes.
These two main topic that all maraji, they are expert, yes, in. Besides being expert in these two fields of study, he's also known of being expert in Ilmur Rijal, which might be translated as the life account of the transmitters of the ahadith, in order to authenticate the ahadith through the chain of the narrators.
Right.
So that is a very important topic to be studied. And
so Rajal here refers to Rajul, which, yes, are the men of narration.
Form. Yes,
the men of narrations, isn't it?
The men, yes, of the power form, okay, of the, okay, man. Yeah.
That's right, okay?
Yeah.
That's all right. Thank you, Sheikh Mahdavi. Sheikh Ziyaniya, what about his works? And he has also established some centers and institutes regarding the Hausa studies. What are they and what are his most outstanding publications?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. First of all, let me mention the books and the works that Ayatollah Shubairi Zanjani has authored. The most important one are those ones that are related to Ilm al-Rijal. For example, Ayatollah Shubairi Zanjani has a commentary on the four main books of Shia that are Usulul Arba'ah, I mean Kitabul Kafi, At-Tahdhib, Al-Istibsar, and Kitab Man La Yahdhurhu Al-Faqih. That these four books, they all are hadithi books, and because this scholar is a very prominent scholar regarding the knowledge and the scholarly studies about hadith, that's why he has authored a commentary, course, individual commentary for each of these four books. Beside this, he has ta'liqe or sharh on Ilm al-Rijal from Najashi, and also on the Rijal book of Shaykh al-Tusi, rahmatullah alayhi. And I should mention this, that without any exaggeration, we should express that the generation that in Qom are prominent in the field of Rijal are the students of Ayatollah Shubairi Zanjani. He has delivered a group of students that these people, these students are now really prominent in Ilm al-Rijal.
Very good.
And all these figures are indebted by the knowledge of Ayatollah Shubairi Zanjani.
Sorry, some of our dear listeners might not be familiar exactly with Ilm al-Rijal. So what is the benefit of this field of study? I mean, for example, for fiqh, for ahkam, for akhlaq, there are some benefits. What benefits can you enumerate for Ilm al-Rijal?
You know, we have a hadith in the books, and we want to drive out the teachings of Islam from these hadith, for example, fiqh, akhlaq, whatever it is, beliefs. And when we want to rely on these hadith, we should accept that this hadith is narrated and is quoted from Imam alayhi salam, from one of the ma'sumin alayhi salatu wa salam. And because we ourselves are not the ones who have heard this hadith from Ma'asumin alayhi salatu wasalam, but there is a chain of narrators here. For example, nowadays at least we have something like 10, 11 or 14, you know, people in the chain of narrators if a hadith wants to be transmitted to us. And the hadith that are narrated in the books of Shaykh al-Tusi and Shaykh al-Kulaini and Shaykh al-Mufid and the people like this, the number is something like 5, 6, or 7 people in the chain of narrators.
Okay,
this hadith is narrated by these people in the chain of narrators, but how we may trust them?
How are they reliable?
Yeah.
Yes.
This is the place that Ilm al-Rijal is coming to the field, to the scene, and is helping and assisting us to know, okay, who is reliable, who is not reliable, who is lying, who is telling the truth, who are the figures who were close to Ahlul Bayt alayhi salatu wasalam, who were the people who were having a good memory in their life, who were the people who were having, wrong beliefs and, you know, corruption in their life, and who were the people who were pious in their life. That's and right. All these, you know, issues are recorded in science and in a knowledge that is named Ilm al-Rijal.
That's right.
So this science and this, you know, knowledge is the one that is assisting us to get benefit from the legacy of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salatu wasalam. And if we were deprived from this, you know, knowledge, then we couldn't get benefit from this sea of ma'rifah and sea of wisdom.
And we have this type of knowledge in both our Sunni brethren and Shia brethren.
Yeah.
Okay, Sheikh Mahtawi, he has also established some centers or, it's better to say, institutes for the Islamic Hausa studies and the Islamic studies and Shia studies. What are they exactly?
Okay, as you mentioned, he has established so many centers, among which we may name the Madrasa Fiqhiya Imam Baqir, which is the school, actually a jurisprudential school of Imam Baqir alayhi salam, which is in charge of nurturing and cultivating great students. Because after 10 years, I mean, this first period of time of studying in Hausa, students of seminary schools are entering the second level, which requires more knowledge, more talent, great asatid and masters. And it is a bit difficult to find a center in which you have access to the great scholars in different field of studies. Mm-hmm. As you mentioned in our discussion today, we talked about Elmo Rejal.
Yes.
And our listeners, they are familiar with the field of study of fiqh, which is jurisprudence, yes, and also usul al-fiqh. So it might be regarded as a difficult task for the students of seminary school to find all teachers from all these field of studies all together in one center, mm-hmm, in an organized process in which you start from the beginning and after a while you can master all these topics. So, alhamdulillah, as the moment it was established, in 1380, almost 20 years ago, the seminary of Qom in general is witnessing the fruit of these centers, okay, specifically the Madrasa Fiqhi Imam Baqir. Nowadays, we see the great students that now they are standing at the position of the great scholars. That's by right, the benefit or by the blessing of participating in this school. That I think this is one of the brilliant points in his field of activities. And if we have time, I can mention other experience or one other memory from, we may call it the mixture of benefiting from the knowledge in defense of the school of thought of Ahlul Bayt. Okay. As we might see nowadays, there are so many attacks against our heritage and legacy. You might see one scholar, or you may call him so-called scholar, he come up talking against our legacy as a hadith or different things that we have. Du'as, du'a kumail, yes, du'a nudda,
ziyara
yes, ashura, yes, all these things that we have. You might read here and there so many attacks against these legacies that we have. Some years ago, we had a common attack against the ziyarat ashura, which is considered as one of the
most sacred
main text. Yes, one of the main ziyara for the actually infallible imams, specifically for Imam Hussein. So this ziyara ashura has got its position among all ziyarat that, yes, we have. So we had this argument against ziyarat ashura that it has been narrated through a weak chain of the narrators, so it is not reliable, or at least some parts of it must be, mm-hmm, omitted. We should not recite it. Why? Because we are not sure whether or not it has been narrated through fully authenticated chain of hadith. So we see at that position, the stance was taken by Ayatollah Shubairi Zanjani in a very long discussion. Very interestingly, he started his discussion with saying that besides having all those spiritual confirmation for this and spiritual approval for Ziyarat Ashura, you may say generally speaking, we have a lot of approvals and confirmation for Ziyarat Ashura, but technically, let me respond you. Mm-hmm. And technically, he addressed the issue saying that the Ziyarat Ashura is mentioned in the book of Al-Misbah al-Mujtahid written by Sheikh Tusi, and this is the chain of the narrators, that's starting right, with Muhammad ibn Khalid al-Tayalisi and going through the Sayf ibn Umayrah, that I'm okay, thinking it's going to be a bit technical for, yes, our, yes, listeners.
Okay.
By the way, I'm just trying to make this point that even though there are attacks against our legacies, but there are men, I mean great outstanding, yes, men scholars in Hausa who defend it from these, and Ayatollah Shubairi Zanjani is considered one of them. So we shouldn't be scared and afraid. Yes. If we feel somewhere someone is attacking, we have to go to his I mean, we have to go to the people who's got this speciality to answer and defend. That's right. We see what he has done in his article, technically responding to that challenge against the reliability of Ziyarat al-Ashura.
Very good, very great. That's all right. And this is really the task of the, we can say, the men of narrations. I mean, the scholars who work in this field, including Sayyid Musa Shoberi Zanjani. Thank you, Sheikh Mahtavi.
Most welcome.
And Sheikh Ziya Inia, for your presence in the program. The teacher talking about the life account of Sayyid Musa Shoberi Zanjani. May Allah prolong his life, inshallah. And thank you much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of the program, The Teacher. For more information, visit our website at parstoday.com/en/Call of Islam page. Also, our YouTube channel, Instagram page, Call of Islam Radio. To another episode, God bless you all. Fi amanallah.
Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Fasting of the month of Ramadan is an important pillar of
Islam. إِنَّمَا سُمِّيَ رَمَضَانَ لِأَنَّهُ يَرْمَضُ الذُّنُوبَ.
Verily, the month of Ramadan has been thus named because it scorches away sins.
What does Maah Ramadan mean to us?
This is Dialogue, a program on the holy month of Ramadan and the importance of fasting.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. Welcome to the program. This is Dialogue. We're talking about the blessed and holy month of Ramadan. The holy month of Ramadan, as you all know, is the blessed and honorable month when the doors of the Almighty Allah's mercy are open. It is the blessed month when forgiveness is easy to gain, but only if we take our steps in this direction. The holy month of Ramadan, the great month when the doors of hell are closed. A beautiful, a blessed, an honorable month. A month where we return towards the Almighty Allah. The holy month of Ramadan, a month where we gain our provisions for our journey towards the hereafter. The holy month of Ramadan, where we establish a connection with our loving, nurturing Lord, our Creator and Sustainer, Allah, exalted and glorified is He. The holy month of Ramadan, the greatest of months, the most honorable of months, this month in which we can return towards Allah, this month in which we can reconnect with Allah, this month in which we can gain the provisions for the hereafter, this, the holy month of Ramadan.
قال الإمام الباقر عليه السلام قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله لما حضر شهر رمضان وذلك لثلاث بقين من شعبان قال لبلال نادي في الناس فجمع الناس ثم صعد المنبر فحمد الله وأثنى عليه ثم قال أيها الناس إن هذا الشهر قد حضركم وهو سيد الشهور فيه ليلة خير من ألف شهر تغلق فيه أبواب النيران وتفتح فيه أبواب الجنان.
Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam stated, at the end of the month of Sha'ban, when there were only 3 days left till the month of Ramadan, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told Bilal, call all the people, so the people gathered together. The Prophet mounted the pulpit, praised Allah and glorified Him, then continued, O people, this month that is coming upon you is the chief of all months. One particular night in it is better than 1,000 months. During this month, the gates of the hell are locked up, and the gates of paradise are opened. So whoever, in spite of experiencing this month, is not forgiven, has indeed been distanced by Allah.
Welcome back, dear listeners. It's a blessing to have you with us. You're listening to Dialogue on IRIB English Radio, and we're talking about the holy month of Ramadan. Dear believers, this holy month of Ramadan is truly a beautiful opportunity for us to do so many beautiful and great and Islamic and spiritual things with our lives. It is truly a month in which we can start fresh, start new, and move forwards in our spiritual connection with Allah. Now, sometimes we think, well, what is the effect of fasting? What are the blessings of fasting? You know, why should we fast? What is the result? What is the reward? What do we gain in return for fasting, abstaining from food and drink and the various other things that we must refrain from during the holy month of Ramadan while we are fasting? Well, dear friends, first and foremost, just because the Almighty Allah has told us to fast, this should be more than enough and it should be sufficient for us to fast. But it is interesting, we find in the Holy Quran, in verse number 183 of chapter number 2, again, this is chapter Al-Baqarah, chapter number 2, verse 183, where the Almighty Allah says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا
كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الصِّيَامُ كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ.
O believers, prescribed for you is the fasting, the